Brother Freeman served us yesterday. I'm sure we received a blessing then also, but we're looking forward to another blessing today, this morning, and also for another day of convention. Seems like the weekends go quickly already. We're talking about the end of the convention. And he's selected for his subject, If You Do These Things, If You Do These Things, Brother Freeman.
Thank you, Brother Ray. And good morning, brethren. That's a tremendous, the words to that hymn, a faith that keeps the narrow way. Beautiful hymn. In fact, I just selected him as I walked in the door. The brother, I knew the elder would be looking for me, and I was running a little later. But anyway, that hymn was very beautiful, and I'm very thankful that we had that. My talk this morning, if ye do these things. And I think you know where that is. I can get it here. Second Epistle of Peter, at verse 5 is where we're going to begin. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. I'm reading out of the NAV. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities, conditional, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, dear brethren, again, it's been a wonderful pleasure to be here with you in this, Jackson Convention. And as I stated yesterday, it's the first time that I've been here, and it's been a very blessed experience for me. And I can't thank the Jackson Ecclesia enough. As we read a moment ago, if ye do, and the word if is there, it's conditional, if ye do these things, that's in 2 Peter 1:10, which I did not read. But let's look at some of the parallel scriptures here in James 1:22. Prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers. And you have the scriptures there. I'm not going to give you those. Well, I could. Matthew 7:21-27. Luke 6:47-49. Romans 2:13. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. John 13:17. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. James 1:25. Matthew 7:24. And Luke 11:28. And in Luke 11:28, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And we know we're not addressing, these are addressed to the consecrated. They're not addressed to the world, because the world, they don't have the eye to see, nor the ear to hear. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and for they hear. What a blessing, brother. 1 John chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. So, brethren, it's in doing. If we do these things, and the promise is that you'll never fall. These things in that particular scripture mentioned in the preceding verses is what we have reference to. The eight elements which must go toward making up the Christian character. You might want to write, 1114, reprint 1114, paragraph 5. And if you do this thing, ye shall never fall. That is the promise. Why? Because all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Those who have a temporary fall, but who afterward overcome in the trials which the Lord will allow to come upon them, thus showing their loyalty to him, will be recovered. We're going to stumble, but we get back up. You will never stumble, but stumbling is not falling. This is the time long foretold when 1,000 in Psalms 91:7, when 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand. Because they have neglected the necessary development of character and have been deluded. You know, it's amazing how the Lord arranges the program. I sat here with Brother Rick opening up yesterday with the Ten Commandments as a base. And then our dear brother David with all of that that he brought right behind us on character development. The Lord arranged that. I hadn't talked to them. They hadn't talked to me. But what a blessing. If there's a fall in our case, it won't be because of on God's part. It will be because of our failure to do our part. One of the final and most searching tests, and the one under which probably the most of those once awakened and armed will fall, will be love for our brethren. Faith. That will be our primary focus, and on the end we'll focus on the very end one, love. And a beautiful hymn, that hymn this morning that was selected. Listening to the words in page 197. If we keep the faith, And that's to the end. Be faithful unto the end. Faith. What is faith? Faith here, dictionary definition, confidence in or dependence on a person, statement, or thing as trustworthy. Trust. Two, belief in God or in testimony that God has recorded in scriptures or other religious writings. That's from the Reader's Digest Encyclopedia Dictionary. Let's look at a few scriptures here. Hebrews 11:1. Faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Eleven 6 of Hebrews. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Again, brethren, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And you know, we've been given so many precious promises. One comes to mind, I think I mentioned this yesterday, in 1 Kings 8:56. Again, the promises that were made to Israel. Of all the good promises that were made to Israel, how many failed? Not one. And I really appreciated the talk, the discourse on Israel yesterday. I had planned on putting something together to that effect, but I really appreciated that. Romans 10:17. Think about that. Faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Dear brethren, we know it's not being addressed. These are to the consecrated, to those who have come into the most holy. You have the ears to hear. Blessed are your ears again, for you hear, and your eyes, for you see. And we should be more sympathetic to the world of mankind. To them it has not been given. But to you it has. Many righteous men long to see what you see and to hear what you hear. Can't get it. The poor world of mankind, and we know this is it's going to be a wonderful thing for them, because God's going to pour His Spirit out upon how many? Where's my dear brother Tom? All flesh. And as a result, they're going to all know Him from the least to the greatest. In Jeremiah 31:34. What a God of love. And we have been blessed with the opportunity to be part of that Melchizedek priesthood, of the blessing priest. Not the Aaronic. Well, we have that opportunity. We're doing that now, but the Melchizedek priesthood, to sit on the throne with our Lord and Savior to bless all of their fellow man. What a wonderful God. Dear brother. I believe it's in John 14, in verse 15, and it's conditional. If you love me, you'll do what? Keep my commandment. And what will the Father do as a result? He'll give you another comfort. In verse 23 or 26 of that same chapter, the Holy Spirit is referred to there. And in verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world
cannot receive. Why? Because in Isaiah 60 and 2, darkness covers the earth, ignorance of God's divine plan, and gross darkness the people. But again, to you, it has been given. In Jude 3 tells us we must earnestly contend for the faith. Apostle Paul writes in 1 Timothy 4:1, what does he tell us? In the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. That's not the world of mankind. They don't have it to begin with. Some will depart. Brethren, be strong. We realize and know that the way was told to us when we counted the cost, that the way is hard that leads to life and a whole lot of people find it. No, it didn't say that. Few there be that find it. You know, sometimes I had the audacity, way back when, to question God. Why me, Lord? I was chastised. My dear sister out in Portland, Sister Sharon, she's always done that. I got accustomed to it now. Do you have the audacity to question God? I haven't did that anymore. Of all the brilliant, bright minds on the earth today, that's what I have in mind. And here's this poor little fellow here. But the Apostle Paul answers that for us, I believe, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Not many wise. Well, I fit that category. I'll call. Not many noble. But I'm so thankful today. I don't question that anymore. I don't use that terminology. Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 6:12, we have to do what? Fight. The good fight of faith. 2 Timothy 4:7. He tells you, now he has evidently made us to that point now. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. What a blessing. If we do these things, we shall never fall. I'm going to move on. Few of the banner texts that talk about faith. February the 8th, you might want to note that. And here our Lord is referring to, O thou of little faith. And the scripture there is 14:31 of Matthew's. And on the March 29th banner, by grace ye are saved through faith. But keep in mind, now faith comes by hearing, and all of this, all that we've talked about on those scriptures. April 25th is a beautiful, that's one we refer to. Without it, it's impossible to please God. Let's look at that next element, virtue. Virtue, what is virtue? I can't pronounce that Greek word, arete, A-R-E-T-E, number 703, from vines, that is. Properly denotes whatever procures preeminent estimation for a person or thing. Hence, intrinsic eminence, moral goodness, virtue of any particular moral essence. In Philippians 4:8 and 2 Peter 1:5, it's listed where virtue is enjoined as an essential quality in the exercise of faith. Again, in those two verses, they're listed twice, where virtue is enjoined as an essential quality in the exercise of faith. The dictionary definition. One, the quality of moral righteousness or excellence. Rectitude. Two, the practice of moral duties and the abstinence from immorality and vice. A life devoted to virtue. Three, any admirable quality or trait. Patience is a virtue. You might want to read Psalms 24, verses 1 through 5. Philippians 4:8. And the Apostle Paul writes, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. That's in verse 9. I have a manner here, and that's for November 10. I'll read that. The scriptures, 1 Corinthians 13:6. Love rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. And the question is asked, are the principles of right and wrong so firmly fixed in our minds? And am I so thoroughly in accord with the right and so opposed to the wrong that I would not encourage the wrong, but must condemn it, even if it brought advantage to me? Am I so in accord with right, with truth, that I could not avoid rejoicing in the truth and in its prosperity, even to the upsetting of some of my preconceived opinions, or to the disadvantage of some of my earthly interests? The love of God, which the apostle is here describing as the spirit of the Lord's people, is a love which is far above selfishness and is based upon fixed principles which should, day by day, be more and more distinctly discerned and always adhered to at any cost. Look at the third element of the talk, if you do these things. Knowledge. Knowledge, a result or product of knowing. Information or understanding acquired through experience. Practical ability or skill. When I think of the word experience here, the whole world of mankind, and even Brother Rick alluded to something as far as Israel is what they were going through, and the whole world of mankind, this is a lesson for the whole world of mankind, because they are being brought to the point where they're going to see bad now, but eventually they're going to see nothing but good. And God is a just God, as we know, and the knowledge of God will be in the land as the waters cover the sea. And they're going to all know Him. So that's a beautiful, and the experiences that we go to, this is to formulate character. I don't question, nothing can happen to you or myself without God knowing. If He is allowing it, it's for a reason. Nothing happens to God's little ones unless He allows it. As we stated yesterday, we're still in the quarry, dear brethren. And that shaping and chiseling. Oh, we don't. None of us would like to do that. We like for everything to be just right as I was and when I was in the nominal system. I could catch a plane or train and I'm off to wherever they, what you signed up for. That didn't work like that with us. But dear brethren, all of those the experiences that the world are having today, and what I'm referring to the world primarily right now, but what's happening to them is going to be a tremendous blessing in the, after the that top stone is in place, at gold, when it's completed. And they're to bless all of their fellow man. But the world of mankind, being exposed to the evil, now they're going to be exposed to nothing but good. Is that not a just God? He's going to allow them. Sure, we understand in 10:26 of Hebrews. If, even this applies now to us, if we sin willfully, that word, next word is after, having an accurate knowledge of the truth, then no sacrifice for sins remain. But what a just God. And remember, we said that the world is in ignorance of God's divine plan. But eventually, they're going to have this opportunity. But the saints have to be seated first. Let me put it like this. The top stone, 1 Corinthians 6:2 tells us, do you not know that the saints are going to judge the world? I know I deviate from my script. I have a tendency to do that, brethren. Please be patient with me. I do that all the time. But do you not know that the saints are going to judge the world? Well, the court is not in session for the world of mankind. In fact, in John 3:16, He so loved the world. And then in verse 17, I didn't come to judge the world. I came to save it. But He's waiting on the completion. He's waiting for you to come out of that most holy. Aaron and Moses, when they came out of the most holy, they came out to bless all the people. Well, I'm looking here. That hasn't been, it's still in the process. They haven't come out of that most holy yet. But when they do, the whole world of mankind is going to have this opportunity. And God's plan, love is so, I don't know, I get carried away, brother. Let's look at Proverbs 1:7, talking about knowledge. See, I started off with knowledge, but I've gone somewhere else, but I do that, and I hope you be patient with me. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the reverence. Speaking of Israel, in Hosea 4:6, the writer there tells us, my people, speaking of Israel, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Habakkuk 2:14, eventually the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. That's a promise. And here again, Isaiah 55:11 tells us, not one word shall return unto him void, but shall accomplish that whereto it was said.
Titus 1:2 tells us it is impossible for God to lie. Hebrews 6:18, it is impossible for God to lie. Well, brethren, we've got a promise here. Not one word shall return unto him void, but shall accomplish that whereto it was said. What more do we need? I've broken a lot of promises there, brethren. But the Almighty God, it's impossible. That'd be totally contrary to his divine nature. First Timothy 2:4, in regards to knowledge. Who will have all men to be saved. And the sequence here. Who will have all men to be saved and then brought into a knowledge of the truth. Well, not one word shall return unto him void. How is that scripture going to be fulfilled? Those that were contemporary back there, even with Abraham, those that were all the way back to Adam. They have to. Well, our Lord answers that for us. The time is coming in John 5:28-29. The time is coming when all are in the grave with his voice and come forth. So that's the day that has been set aside, that he's going to judge the world in righteousness. I had a problem. Here the scriptures teach that the world's going to be judged in righteousness. I really liked that once I found it. But I knew on the dotted line that I wasn't a good person when I was all the way up in that system. And it was by fear. But I knew he could tell me I had signed on the dotted line, had shook the preacher's hand, but I knew Freeman in his heart, I knew I wasn't a good person. I knew that. So that was, my mom helped me out tremendously. They weren't Bible students, but they had good morals. And she always taught me from day one, God is love. So that helped me. Go ahead and get the hell scared out of me. That was hard for me. It was very difficult for me. And there's no such place, I found out. After I found out the Greek word, state of oblivion, Sheol, Hades. What a relief. Because I knew where I was going, even though I had signed on the dotted line. Because I just wasn't. I didn't realize that I was going to be given a robe of righteousness and access to the throne of grace. Well, I'm back off point again. All right. Let's move on, brother. Knowledge is what we had reference to. And again, I have a tendency to. Knowledge will be the basis of development of the new creature. I stayed with my script, I'd be. Faith and obedience is very necessary. And I was talking to my dear brother as we were coming here this morning. He was talking about humility. And without humility, knowledge without humility is very dangerous. We were discussing that with Brother Tom this morning. Knowledgeable is very necessary in building our characters. If we don't know what is required of us, how do we know what to do? But it's spelled out in this manual that we use. And not one word, as we stated on a number of occasions, shall return unto him void. Our Lord even told us in Matthew 4:4? What is that? Someone help me. I got the scripture, but I can't quote it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of. Thank you, brother. I need all the help I can get. That character, God's character, and this knowledge is very essential to developing character. What is my time, brother, on the...
About 50? Yeah, you got about 20 minutes.
Okay, good, good. Knowledge. Let's look at a manner for the 26th of May. Knowledge puffeth up, but love buildeth up. 1 Corinthians 8, 1. All who seek to teach the divine plan to others are exposed to peculiar temptations, so that the honor of serving the Lord and His people demands a correspondingly larger measure of the graces of the Holy Spirit as well as of knowledge. Whoever, therefore, would be an instructor of others, a mouthpiece of the Lord, should cultivate all the various graces of the Holy Spirit, including meekness, that these combined love with knowledge may build up himself as well as build up those to whom he administers. March 25, manner. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your steadfastness. But grow in grace and in knowledge and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We grow in knowledge as we take note of the promises of God and by faith apply them to ourselves and seek to discern in our lives the fulfillment of those promises. We grow in grace simultaneously, for unless each item of knowledge be received into a good and honest heart and bring forth its measure of obedience and righteousness, grace that is, we will not be prepared for the next step of knowledge and would thus be stopped or possibly turned back. And as a loss of knowledge would mean a measurable loss of grace, so also a loss of grace would mean a corresponding loss of knowledge. Going into darkness, the promises of the Lord's word becoming more and more dim and obscured in proportion as our goodness or grace would be lost in worldliness or in sin. Temperance is the next. Temperance, one, is the state or quality of being temperate. Two, calmness, self-control. Three, the principle or practice of total abstinence from intoxicants. Or temperate, one, observing moderation in the indulgence of an appetite, especially in the use of intoxicants. We're not talking about that. I know the brother brought something up yesterday where someone made a mistake in that regard. Number two is characterized by moderation or the absence of extremes. It's not excessive. Philippians 4:5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. 1 Corinthians 9:25. Every man that striveth for the master is temperate in all things. Galatians 5:23. Meekness
temperance. Against such, there is no law. Titus 2:2. And he was telling them here that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. Our temperance is very necessary, dear brethren, and to overcoming. This is not confined to drink, as someone that, what I explained a moment ago, intoxicant. But it is required to runners in the race. All Christians should practice temperance. Patience. The state or quality or fact of being patient. Also, the ability to be patient. Patient, the word patient, is capable of bearing, persevering, you're diligent in all of these things. Let me move over. And that patience is very necessary to develop the fruitage that is required. I'll tell you what, dear brethren, the Lord knew, and He has given me those trials in this regard. And the old adversary is always there to stick you in the back. But patience, patience, and it's something that I've had to really keep working on in the quarry. I keep more chiseling, and the Lord is working on. I'm learning. I'm getting there. Let's look at an anatext here. February 12th. James 1:4 is the scripture. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. April 23rd, manna. That on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, they keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Let's go to the next one here. Godliness. In Vines 21:50, it means to be devout. It denotes that piety which characterized by a God, by good attitude. Denotes that piety which characterized by a God attitude, does that which is pleasing to Him. In Leviticus 19:2, and I think this was brought up yesterday by, I believe Brother Rick used it, if I'm not mistaken. Or maybe not. No, he was the Ten Commandments. In Leviticus 19:2, you shall be holy. It was addressed to Israel. For I, the Lord your God, am holy. Matthew 5:48, therefore you ought to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Luke 6:36, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. That's godliness. That's being like the Almighty God. 1 Peter 1:15, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves, also in all your behavior. 1 Timothy 6:6. You might want to look at the context. I won't read that. Verses 3-5. But godliness with contentment is great gain. The blessed state of godly contentment cannot be reached in a moment, dear brother. It is a result of growth in grace and in the knowledge and love of God. Christian contentment is based upon godliness. Worldly contentment is based upon love of ease and selfishness. With intelligent people, there can scarcely be contentment without godliness. So godliness, again, is filled with reverence and love for God. Godliness will bring persecution. Cannot include harmful gossip, unclean conversation, or disloyal words. Let's look at brotherly kindness. John 13:34. Hear, Lord, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Dear brethren, love for our brethren is a very important element. Oh, I have ones that I have, we don't agree on the same points, but I love that brother. I love that sister, whoever it is. We've both been begotten by the Holy Spirit. These are our brethren. In John 13:35, here again, listen to what our Lord says. By this shall all men, this was a continuation of 34. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if, again, conditional, if you love one another. Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed, the writer here is telling us, we know that we have passed from death unto life. Why? Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. That's a very strong statement, dear brother. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. 1 John 4:20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? A Manner Text, March 16th. We know that we are passed from death unto life because we love our brethren. We love the brethren, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. One of the final and most searching tests of these brethren, and the one under which probably the most those once awakened and armed will fall will be love for the brethren. Think about that. Seemingly, many will fail at this point and be therefore counted unworthy of an abundant entrance into the kingdom, on this score. Should any be specially weak and liable to stumble, the true soldier of the cross will not despise him, nor revile him, even as the elder brother, the captain, would not do so. On the contrary, he will be the more watchful and helpful toward the weaker, even though he must enjoy himself in the company of the stronger. One more. April 2, April 2nd. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, as especially unto them that are, unto them who are of the household of faith. Galatians 6:10. The Christian is to be ready to do good at the expense of his own time and convenience to all men, but he is ready to lay down his life for the brethren. He is to seek opportunities for laying down his life day after day, in the sense of giving his time to the communication of the truth, or helping the Lord's brethren in any manner to put on the whole armor of God and to stand in this evil day. Love, as we conclude. And I think I could just about talk to anybody. I know most of the things we can't, nobody understands them out there, but I could ask anyone just about out on the street. John 3:16. I found that to be the case. Most of them know that scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I had a hard time with that in the religious perish. I tried to make perish based upon what I was told. That was very difficult. Torment. And that comes from, we're talking in this particular instance, disinterested love, agape love, true love. Well, there's the brotherly love, we know that. In 1 Corinthians 13, that's the love chapter, as you already know. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's not jealous. And in 1 Corinthians 13, it concludes there, but now abide in faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. I was not aware, like I said, this is my first time, and I saw that. How do you pronounce that again outside? The faith, hope, and love? Someone help me. Fahola. I thought that was very interesting. Faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. The law of love in Luke 10:27. You shall do what? Brother Rick, again in the Ten Commandments yesterday. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. So love, dear brethren, will determine in the final analysis our position on that pyramid. We have the gold, the silver, and as Brother Rick alluded to yesterday, we have that up under that for the earthly class, Israel.
Beautiful picture. That's a very beautiful picture. But there's no calling for the great company. There's no call. We all striving each day to be part of that goal up there. I keep hearing this every day on television about gold, how it's increasing. It just keeps going up, up, and away. But the first thing I think about the gold that's on this chart here. And brethren, if we are faithful until death, we'll have our place in that part of the Melchizedek priesthood. And again, as I conclude, Brother Bray, as I conclude, if you do these things, the way is made plain. If ye do these things, the victory is assured, ye shall never fall. May the Lord add his blessing.